Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Now, due to the COVID-19 pandemic, we have seen the healthcare sector being forced to change up their role at a faster rate.
Yeah, here in Singapore, we have turned the pandemic into an opportunity to improve our current healthcare workflow and further expand the health tech sector by innovating new solutions to provide better access and care to people.
The successful adoption of technology to combat and contain the COVID-19 pandemic effectively has in part helped the country retain its top position in the IMD SUTD Smart City Index for the second year last year.
Yeah, but you know, the real question here is, while we're still battling this pandemic and it's going to continue for a while more, what kind of healthcare megatrends can we expect in the next couple of years?
And how is GE Healthcare, which is a leading global medtech and diagnostics innovator, welcoming these megatrends?
All right, let's find out more from Rob Walton, the CEO of Asia Pacific GE Healthcare. Rob, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Elliot. Thanks for having me on the show. Nice to talk to you.
Let's talk a little bit about GE Healthcare. Could you give us a bit of an overview? We understand, obviously, it's in a subsidiary of American multinational conglomerate General Electric that's incorporated in New York, headquartered in Chicago. What else can you tell us?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, we're a leading global medical technology provider, one of the world's largest medtech companies, actually, specializing really in diagnostic imaging, which is CT, MRI, X-ray, etc., as well as critical care solutions, which everyone's heard of recently, ventilators, patient monitors, and baby incubators. We're spread, a pretty big company, as I mentioned, about 50,000 employees spread across 7 regions, including Asia Pacific, which is what I'm responsible for. Here we have over 1,600 people in the region, and more close to home in Singapore. We've been here about 30 years. This is our regional HQ. And we have about 250 employees based here in Singapore. So overall, you know, the company's been around for approximately 100 years or more, dating back to 1896 with the development of the original technology that makes the X-ray machines. And part of this legacy, we've established the world's largest installed base of imaging, mobile diagnostics, and monitoring equipment with over 4 million systems worldwide. And as part of this, this makes us actually also one of the world's largest generators of healthcare data, which helps to really underpin our position as a leader in the healthcare digital innovation space and data analytics.
Well, Rob, given that you have this incredible legacy and you have a huge amount of data to hand as well, we would be remiss if we didn't ask you about what you've learned so far during the COVID-19 pandemic before we talk about the future of healthcare. Can you just tell us what sort of big shift or trends you're seeing, especially since the outbreak began?
Yeah, I think there's been a number of different trends taking place, and really one of the major trends is the shift towards digital health, and part of that, telemedicine and other types of digital solutions to help support doctors deal with the pandemic. And, you know, I think one of the realities of the issues that we saw before the pandemic and after the pandemic has really accelerated some of the shift. I mean, some of the key things that doctors have been trying to deal with, which is ever-increasing demand, as well as shortages of trained clinicians and pressure on budgets, that's really exacerbated situations within the hospital. Added to this, COVID-19's added lots of new requirements in terms of more stringent infection controls within hospitals and clinics, and that requires better monitoring and digital solutions that help to reduce the need for direct interactions between staff and patients. So things like tele-ICU and virtual care solutions, these have been key enablers to be able to support those remote interactions while maintaining very high standards of care. One of the other things which has really been a challenge is the uncertainty of demand. As we know, you know, within a couple of days, the profile of patients coming into the hospital can change very rapidly. And really, it's been clear that many healthcare networks have not really been ready and prepared for the type of demand that COVID-19 has placed onto the healthcare systems. So I think going forward, you know, pandemic preparedness, together with these digitally enhanced ways to monitor and manage capacity utilization and resource allocation, that's going to be critical to be able to manage things going forward.
Rob, it was highlighted to us or flagged to us that the healthcare industry is shifting towards precision health. Can I get your thoughts on this and maybe you could help define it a little bit for us?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I think it's really precision health is about ensuring the right outcomes for individual patients and delivered at the right point of care. And there's three main aspects to precision health. The first is precision diagnostics, which is about ensuring the most accurate assessment of a patient's condition at the earliest point in their care journey. And by leveraging artificial intelligence and enhancing diagnostic methods, this can allow the detection of diseases and other conditions much earlier in the cycle. The second piece is precision therapeutics, which involves delivering targeted treatments, which includes precision medicine and interventions to ensure the best possible outcome for the patient. And then the third piece is really about monitoring. And it's about monitoring and tracking the patient condition both before the treatment and after the treatment to ensure that the therapy or intervention is working and the patient is actually getting better. And so part of this is actually extending the monitoring outside of the normal environment in the hospital into patients' homes. And this could include things like using handheld ultrasound to be able to do basic scanning checks, as well as using remote monitors to keep track of patient status. And, you know, really, I think the reason why the industry is moving towards precision health, partly because of the increasing demands on the healthcare system for better outcomes and lower costs, but now the amount of data and the evolution of the digital technology, that's really allowing precision diagnostics, therapeutics and monitoring to really become a reality.
But I'm sure that you have to issue to, you know, the healthcare providers that you work with and when you supply these sorts of pieces of equipment, that there are limitations, right? What are the things that you would warn consumers of if they're using, say, at-home diagnostic tools?
Well, all diagnostic tools that will be used at home in general, if they're above a certain level, would be regulated devices anyway. So they would be often prescribed in the same way that, you know, a CPAP device or any other device that's used in a patient's home is prescribed. So, you know, usually this comes with, you know, clear instructions and clear guidance about how to use the equipment. So the doctor has to be the person who is explaining to the patient how to use the devices. I think the reality is that, you know, these devices are just a ways to help to bridge the gap between the doctor and the patient and enable them to have better interactions, but on a more remote basis. I think as we've seen through the COVID-19 crisis, that's restricted the ability for doctors to be able to have the same outreach to patients, whether it's, you know, because of lockdowns or restrictions of the types of people who can come into hospitals. And really, these devices are just extensions of that capability. And so telemedicine and another remote type of solutions is really about enhancing that and really extending the reach of healthcare much to a wider population. But obviously, the same safety rules and regulations apply as they would do within a hospital environment.
But one of the biggest things about doctors and doctor relationship is the existence of trust and how that's built up over time. Do these devices, in your opinion, post-COVID-19 pandemic, has it achieved the same level of trust?
I think one thing to remember is that any digital solution is really an enhancement and a tool for the doctor. Mm-hmm. So at no point in time would we expect these devices to replace the doctor or to, you know, take over the decision-making or the direction that the doctor takes. So whenever we think about digital enhancement, artificial intelligence, it's really a clinical decision support tool. And that's really the key word is support. It's about helping the doctors and enabling them to do their jobs more effectively and then helping them to do it faster, more efficiently, or to detect things that they couldn't detect before. It's never about replacing the doctor or trying to do something that they wouldn't normally do. So I think that's where the trust factor comes from. It's really still that doctor-patient interaction, and that's really the most precious thing that needs to be maintained. And it's just enhancing and supporting that.
Yeah, I think all of this alludes to the fact that we are living in a new normal, not just because of the pandemic, but in general because of the advances in healthcare, and we can approach it in different ways. I really did want to get, out of curiosity, slightly out of left field, but I really wanted to get your view, perhaps your personal view, I'm not sure, on what's happening in India right now and how the kind of tools that we now have available could, if they were leveraged in a crisis situation like that, change the future so that we avoid a crisis like this happening again?
Yeah, I mean, the situation in India is very challenging. And I think, you know, this is a situation which I think we've seen in multiple parts of the world, maybe not quite to the same acuity as in India, but it is very difficult. And I think that pandemic preparedness is something that is extremely important for all healthcare systems. You know, one of the things that we've seen personally is the demand for things like ventilators has gone extremely, you know, through the roof, and we've had to invest in substantial increases in production capacity and putting in new factories and really increasing the volume of capability to be able to support healthcare systems with intensive care equipment that can help to treat patients in this type of situation. So I think really what it needs is, and now that we've experienced this situation, it's about being prepared for significant changes and fluctuations to the patient demand and being ready and able to cope with that. And so one of the things that we work on and where digital health can actually be extremely helpful is putting in systems that can actually track the day-to-day operations of a hospital, that can track the operations of a healthcare network, and be able to detect when you're starting to run out of capacity, or you're starting to run into staff shortages, or you're running into ventilated bed shortages, things like that. And so some of the technology that we've developed that actually leverages AI and data analytics to be able to manage this in a much more effective way. And this is really, I think, quite important for all healthcare networks to have that sense of, you know, where they are in the situation and to be able to react when emergencies and pandemics take place so that we don't run into the same kind of situations that we have today.
I like that. And it's all about being prepared, as you mentioned. What kind of mega trends can we expect to see in the coming years?
Yeah, I think the mega trends really is around this shift towards digital health. And specifically, this is the rise of artificial intelligence and data analytics. You know, this has been coming for a long time, though. I mean, it's not a new trend. It's been on the rise for, you know, 10 to 20 years. It really, I think, reached a tipping point in the last 2 to 3 years, though, and COVID itself has been a huge accelerator as part of this. You know, and one of the challenges for healthcare providers today is how to make use of the huge amounts of data that is generated every single day. You know, with the advanced monitoring and diagnostic equipment we have today, there's an enormous amount of medical data generated. The average hospital generates more than 60 million gigabytes of data per year, of which 90% is medical imaging, but less than 3% of this data ever gets used. And so this is where AI, data analytics, and other digital solutions can come in to really leverage that other 97% and use that to be able to create better outcomes for patients, be able to, you know, run healthcare networks more effectively, and really provide a better standard of healthcare overall to the patients.
I'm curious, do you see a future, Rob, where we all have a sort of barcode, and that barcode is all of our health information wherever we go in the world, you know, and that can be something integrated with, say, GE healthcare products, like every time you have a scan, you know, all your data is available?
Well, I'm not sure about the barcode but I definitely think one thing we do need to have is a better tracking of patient information, you know, and as we've started to see more integrated electronic medical device records and integration with medical equipment, starting to see much more integration of the data. However, the reality today is that actually tracking a patient who is going through oncology treatment from one doctor to the next doctor as they move through that treatment pathway actually still today is very difficult to track. And so, you know, as you can imagine, for that individual who's going through that treatment pathway, you know, it is quite concerning if, you know, there isn't the continuity of information going throughout the entire cycle. And so I think what we will see is much more integrated databases, much more integrated healthcare information systems. And then by also incorporating some of this artificial intelligence and data analytic tools, you know, be able to actually look for things that we couldn't see before. And therefore, by leveraging this data and insights, we can create outcomes which maybe weren't possible in the past. I think that's really what the opportunity is going forward.
Amazing. We've been speaking with Rob Walton, the CEO of Asia Pacific GE Healthcare. Rob, appreciate your time this morning. Take care and stay safe.
Great. Thanks very much. Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.